Today's Bible reading comes from John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18, which is on page 1087 in the Pew Bibles. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She said, "Do not hold on," he said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to church for this Easter Sunday. Welcome, especially if you're not normally here on a Sunday evening. My name's Alan. I'm the senior minister here at St. James. Shout out to Lucy on the Bible reading roster. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something disturbing about expecting something to be locked and sealed and finding it open. It could be anything. It could be your school locker. You arrive on a Monday morning, the locker's open. Wait, there's something not right about that. Or maybe you come back to your car after seeing a movie and the window is a quarter of the way down. You think, how did that... Did I? Or maybe you've been out all day and you come home as it's getting dark and the front door is just a little bit ajar. And you stare at it. The lights are off inside the house and you think, what does this mean? Surely I couldn't have. I never. And you have your brain, you can't stop. You have to explain it. You think, what does this mean? Did I do it? I don't think so. Did somebody else in my family, a friend of mine, do this? You think perhaps something sinister has happened. Somebody has broken into my house, you might think. Well, today's passage from John chapter 20, describing the first Easter morning, it begins with something just like that, the door ajar. And just as we would, the people who encounter it, their minds start racing. What has happened here? How is this to be explained? Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And this is a grave, not a house or a locker. And so she immediately thinks someone has tampered with the body. Someone's removed Jesus. Who knows why? He had so many enemies. And that's what she reports. We read, Mary came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. The sun wasn't yet up. My guess is Mary had woken these men up. And we read they came running to see for themselves. Peter apparently accepts Mary's version of events straight off. Simon Peter came along and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And John tells us that the other disciple was a faster runner than Peter. He'd actually beaten him to the tomb, but presumably was too spooked to go into an empty tomb or an open tomb in the dark. And so it's only then that he goes in. And his response is described a bit differently. We read, finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. It's a strange thing to say. What did he believe? Did he believe Mary? That somebody had taken the body away? Normally in John's gospel, the word belief means something big, not just, yes, I take you at face value. Maybe when he saw the bizarrely neat burial linen, maybe the other disciple did think some great act of God had happened. Maybe that was what he believed. But the report says very explicitly that none of them really got it. None of them knew what had actually happened. So it says in verse 9, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And even seeing that, three different people with their different responses, tells us what we already know, namely, the empty tomb is an ambiguous thing. It's not clear what has happened. It's sinister. And all these three people have, as they stand there in the gloom, is an empty tomb and their own imagination. We read that the disciples then went back to where they were staying. Now imagine that was it. That's the news of Easter. The announcement is an empty tomb. And our great Easter message is Christ is missing. See, straight away you feel it, right? You think, well, that's no good. That announcement does us no good. It's immediately clear to us that's not the Christian message, is it? The Christian message is not Christ is missing. I have seen the empty tomb. That's not the announcement. Mary already has that much, and she's still devastated. It's no wonder that at that point the men think, well, we're done here. And they trudge off home. Mary, however, does not leave the tomb. She remains. And for the first time, as far as we can tell, she finds the courage to peek inside herself. And fascinatingly, she sees a vision in there, which the men did not. Two angels. She doesn't seem to realize who they are. And she just speaks to them. And she repeats the broken-hearted assumption that she's already made and delivered to the other disciples. She says to them, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. And in the next moment, everything changes. It says, imagine, there she is standing inside this small cave, this tomb. It says she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. He's on the outside. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. It's still basically dark, and she's crying. The angels have already said to her, why are you crying? And now Jesus says the same. He asked a woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? She doesn't recognize him. And all she wants, all that she's there for, is just the comfort of giving Jesus' body a decent burial. The events of Good Friday are very rushed. Sir, she says to him, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him. I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Suddenly, all the other theories are gone. The grave robbers and the body snatchers and whatever else. All gone. He's right there. The empty tomb in that instant is not ambiguous anymore. It's not a mystery anymore. Jesus has died. She knows that. She was there. It was only the day before yesterday. And here he is. He's risen. She doesn't need to find his body to bury it. He's died once. He's been buried once. He will never need his tomb again. He's risen. And Jesus says, do not hold on to me. Presumably she's flung her arms around him. I've not yet ascended to the Father. In other words, this fellowship here, this is temporary. But one day it'll be permanent. I just love this chapter. And I must say, as a preacher, I'm drawn to that question that Jesus asks Mary. Who is it you're looking for? I mean, it was just a straight question with a straight answer. But it's not a bad one to reflect on in a general sense. Who is it you're looking for? Let me ask you that question this Easter day. Who is it? Maybe what is it you're looking for? We're all looking for something. There's always something that we're longing for, or something that's exciting us, or something that's drawing our lives forward. What is it you're looking for? Are you looking for a break? Do you feel like I'm under so much pressure? Everyone's always telling me to do things. Or maybe you're looking for companionship. Maybe you're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe you just like somebody to say that you're special to them. Is that what you're looking for? Maybe something more serious. Maybe a life partner. Maybe you're looking for security. You're anxious about something. You're anxious about money, about the future. What's interesting to me here is that Mary, did you notice this, did not find what she was looking for. She didn't find it. What was Mary looking for? She was looking for a dead body. And so it is for us. Sometimes we think we're looking for the most important thing of all, only to discover something far more wonderful. We turn around and think, why was I even seeking that other thing? Mary was seeking a dead body, but she finds something better. And so can we in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You're searching for a dead body only to find that Jesus speaks your name. And you turn around. There he is. Mary. Alan. And I think to myself, why did I seek those other things when the risen Lord Jesus is here? Well, these are thrilling moments, but they're incomplete. We've stopped in the middle of the story because at this point, only Mary and the angels know what has really happened. The other two disciples know the tomb is empty, but nothing more. And so Jesus gives her an explicit instruction to pass on the news to the others. Verse 17, he says, go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so for the second time that morning, Mary goes from the grave to the disciples. The first time, what was her announcement? They have taken my Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. This time the message has changed. She's found what she didn't realize she was looking for. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. You see the difference between the announcement of a missing Lord and the announcement of a risen Lord. Now, what about us? We weren't there that day. Sometimes Christians think, oh, if only I could have been there. We weren't there. How are we meant to believe this? Well, we have the eyewitness report of John, which contains the eyewitness report of Mary, although John himself saw Jesus with his own eyes that day and also subsequently. And although, without reflecting, all we have is the Bible, isn't it true that eyewitness accounts are basically what we think of as the strongest evidence that humans can bring to bear? That's what the police are interested in. That's what the courts are interested in. The question is, did anyone see this happen? Were there any eyewitnesses? We have eyewitnesses to the resurrection. And so it's vital that Mary's message is an eyewitness message. Not Jesus is missing and I've drawn some conclusions, but I have seen the Lord. Jesus is risen. And there's something else interesting here. As we read on, we discover that later that day, all the other disciples except for Thomas were to see Jesus for themselves. But what's interesting is this. Jesus' instructions to Mary were not, Mary, it's so good to see you, I'll be visiting the others later myself. What did he say? He says, you go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus' intention was that the way people would come to trust him and believe the resurrection was by believing the eyewitness reports. That was Jesus' intention. He told Mary to tell the others. At one point in church history, Mary was nicknamed the apostle to the apostles. She told them the news of resurrection before they ever saw Jesus for themselves. Jesus rebuked Thomas because he did not believe when other eyewitnesses told him. In chapter 20, he said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Jesus explicitly prayed for and commended people like us, if you're sitting here as a Christian believer, who believed the words of these witnesses. He said in chapter 17, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. If you hear and believe, you are doing just as Jesus hoped and prayed you would. And I echo the words of Jesus and say, bless you for that. You have heard and believed. The world is full of tombs. Occupied tombs, sealed tombs. It has to be. In fact, this building, although we don't really pick up on it, this building in some ways is a reminder of that fact. Our building's full of little plaques remembering the dead. Stained glass windows remembering the dead. The world's full of tombs. There are people at St. James who just in these last few months, certainly since last Easter, have had people near to them die. They still have that on their hearts. Another tomb filled and sealed. Last Saturday, I took a funeral service in this very building. Another tomb, filled and sealed. I took a phone call just before church this morning. A lady, an aunt of mine actually, who's been told by the doctors, well, she's in a coma now. The doctors have told her family she's not going to survive the day. They said, can you please come and just pray one last time? And who knows, maybe when I check my phone after church, the news will be of another tomb soon to be filled and sealed. That's how things work. And yet, at Easter, we discover amongst all these tombs, one tomb, open, empty. And not just open and empty in a creepy door ajar kind of way. Open and empty with a lady beside it, saying something. What is she saying? She's saying, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Do you believe her? I believe her. She saw the Lord. And what it meant for her, it means for me, and it means for us. Hope. A living Lord. One day, if the Lord doesn't come back before then, there'll be a tomb somewhere with my name on the headstone. That's okay. She has seen the Lord. She has seen the Lord. At the heart, it's the message at the heart of the Lord's Supper, which we're going to share in a few moments. It's a message at the heart of the Alpha Course, which we're going to be running soon. I hope you'll sign up for that. The most wonderful words anyone can say at a graveside, or indeed at any stage in life, but at a graveside, are not rest in peace, but rather, he is risen.